Well, good morning, folks. Yeah, it's good to see you. Appreciate you being with us in Sunday school this morning. I haven't heard from Brother Billy. He's run into a holdup, I guess, somewhere down the line, but that's all right. We'll go ahead and start this morning. Thank the Lord that he's blessed us with the opportunity to be here again. Got us up this morning and turned our clock on and got us to ticking. So, but I do appreciate much your presence, and thanks to all those who are joining in by way of internet. We're going to be in the book of Revelations again today. We're going to be in chapter number 19 as we begin to study today and look at your bulletin and remember all those things that's coming up. You know, Easter's coming in a hurry and Easter drama's coming in a hurry. So won't be long and we'll be into a real, real busy time. But thank the Lord for a risen Savior. One that suffered, bled, and died for our sins, was victorious over it all. Give us an opportunity to know him in saving grace. What a marvelous blessing. We'll bow with us in a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with our study of the book of Revelation. Lord, again today, we come before you, Lord, knowing that within ourselves that we can do nothing. So, Lord, we need a special anointing of the precious Holy Spirit as we walk through your word today. We ask, Lord, that you would enlighten us to the truths therein. How marvelous and how great your word is. And, Lord, we know that it's a living word. This Bible that we hold in our hands is not just another book. It's the Word of God. And Lord, we express a few things about that Word of God this morning as we study these verses together and as you lead and guide and direct us in our lives. Lord, I thank you for each one who's present, each one who's listening in. Thank you, Lord, that we have a church that's founded on your precious word, the gospel of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask again now that you'd bless in this study, bless the further exercise of this day, and help us to be humble that you might be exalted, that you might be uplifted and glorified and praised and honored for the God that you are and for the Christ who loves us. Bless now. As we fellowship together in the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Revelation chapter number 19. Now, last Sunday, as we studied together, we talked about the marriage of the Lamb. And we got down to verse number 11 of the 19th chapter. We're going to try to break these verses down a good little bit as we study these together. Some things here I want us to take note of, pay attention to. I'd be the first one to tell you that I don't have all the answers to all these scriptures and all in the book of Revelation. Over the years, taught this several times, but I don't know that I've ever taught it to the depth that I've been involved with it this time. And the more I read it, the more I study it, the more I realize there's a lot that I don't know and understand. And this is one of those situations we talk about chasing the rabbit, and I think there's a lot of things here that I might need to do that. And I might need to come back, and I might, depends on how the Holy Spirit leads and the Lord leads. I want us to look at the resurrections that we talk about, the marriage of the Lamb. I want us to look at that in a little more detail, maybe. But we have just now, when we think about marriage, you know, you have a marriage at the church, say. And then when you have the marriage, you generally leave and go on a honeymoon. And when we look at the marriage of the Lamb here in chapter number 7 and chapter number 8, you know, we need to study that a little more in depth, so I'll leave that at that, and we might come back to this a little bit later. But let's look at verse number 11. John said, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Now, many times as we've looked at the beginning of the verses in, like verse number 19, in chapter number 19, verse number 1, he says, "After these things I heard a great voice and much people." And many times these things begin and they say, "And I saw an angel," when then we have the scripture past what that angel saw. But this time, what does John say? John says, "Who saw?" He said, "I saw." Not an angel saw. John says, "Now I saw, and this is something that I saw." So then what did he see? And he said, "I saw heaven open up." And think on that just a moment. He said, "I saw heaven open up." Now, it does not say that I saw heaven open up to certain individuals. He does not say I saw heaven open up to Christians. He said, "I saw heaven open up." And that means this scene that we see here is available for everybody to see, both saved and unsaved. So you keep that in mind. Because I want us to look at a few verses while we travel through this. He said, "I saw it open up, and behold, a white horse, and he," you know, see, here's the he. Now, who's this he? Now, it's very easy to understand who this he is, because this he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, without question. So who are we seeing on this white horse? We are seeing the Son of God. He said, "He sat upon him," and he said, "He was called Faithful, and he's called True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." That don't sound a lot like Christ that we know of today, and the world tries to tell us about today. You know, God is not all love. God does what he said he'd do. And when he said he's a God of judgment, he's also a God of judgment, just like he's a God of grace and mercy. And what we're seeing in the book of Revelation, we're seeing the God of judgment. But now I want you to notice what it says. He said he's called Faithful. So he's faithful in his word and his promises. In other words, he does what he says he's going to do. He also said that he's true in that he does. He also says he does it in righteousness. He does it justly. And he doth judge, but he also what? And he makes war. So what we're seeing now as we look at this is the return of Christ to this earth, getting ready for the millennial reign, the 1,000 years of earthly rule to fulfill a promise to the nation of Israel that he would be their king He'd sit on the throne of David. He'd be an earthly king to the nation of Israel. Now, he said his eyes were as the flame of fire, as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but him. Now, that's an unusual statement. There's one of those things I don't have the total answer for, but I want us to read on as we go a little bit farther through this. Now notice, in this, he says he has a name written, no man knows, but now let's read on. Verse number 13. He was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name, here is a name that he's called. Here is a name that he is. And what is his name? And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And we're going to come back to these verses, so just hang on with me. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of your Lords. So in the process of this, we've seen two names that we know that he's called. He's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he's also called the Word of God. So if you'd allow me, I want to back up for just a moment to verse number 13 again. He was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood. We know what that represents, the sacrifice that he paid for you and I. A reminder, remember the heavens open and all can see. Now, when those that are unsaved, they can also see this Christ. This is Christ returning in a physical body. And the lost can see him just like the saved can see him. And here's a reminder of who he is and the sacrifice he made. And he's got a vesture dripped in blood, a testimony to those unbelieving that that's the Savior of the world that's showing forth his presence now. But the presence that he's showing forth now to those of you who have not acknowledged who he is, he's coming now in a much different frame than he came when he went to Calvary, because love and grace and mercy put him on Calvary. But now he's returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming with truth. He's coming with authority. He's coming with judgment. And he's coming with the wrath of Almighty God. But I'm interested in the phrase here as we look at this in the 13th verse, that he's called the Word of God. Go back with me for just a moment. I want to read something to you. I had never thought about it in this light before. I want you to go to John chapter 1 and verse number 1. And let's look at something there and talk about these verses for just a little bit. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word what? the Word was. Now notice, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, next word, with God. Okay? Keep that thought in mind. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And then it says, and the Word what? Was God. That's kind of an unusual statement, is it not? How is it that the Word of God can be with God and be God? But we're looking at that Holy Trinity. And what we're doing is we're seeing that Christ is the Word of God. And Christ in the beginning begun as the Word of God. And He was with God and has been with God since the beginning. Okay? Keep that thought in mind. The same was in the beginning, what? With God. So the Word of God was with God, and with God in the beginning. So Christ has always been in the picture. There's always been a Trinity. There's always been God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But let's look at something else as we look at this. In verse number 10, it talks about Him being the light of the world, and He is the light of the world. Verse number 10, He says, He was in the world, and the world was what? Made by Him. So I believe in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, if the world was made by Him, Christ says, I was a part of the Trinity, so He had to be there. Because here, if I read right, it says the world was made by Him. But it says this world did what? Knew Him not. So let's go a little bit farther into this now. In verse number 14. And the Word was what? Was made flesh. And it did what? It dwell among us. So now we find that that Word of God that was in the beginning is now made flesh, made into a body, made into a man, that He might be seen by man, taken by man, crucified by man, but be God's gift to mankind for saving grace. So it says the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And then look at the next phrase. Full of what? Full of grace and full of mercy. And He was full of grace and full of mercy. And when we see Him in Revelations, we see that name that He is the Word of God in flesh. Now, look with me. Well, let's go back to Revelations again. Go back to that 19th chapter. Now let's look at these verses again. It says He's the Word of God. Now look at verse number 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linens, white and clean. Now, who are they? Now, watch this. Now, we're talking about Christ's return to the earth, physical body, to rule and reign. Now he says he's got what with him? He said he has an armies with him. Now, and how are those armies clothed? They're in white. Well, who in the world is that? Well, let me remind you to look at verse number 8 again. When we looked at the marriage of the Lamb. And in verse number 7, it says it's his wife and he made herself ready. So it's the church that we're talking about here. And then look at verse number 8. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in what? In fine linens, clean and white. For linen is the righteousness of what? Of saints. So we're talking about the church, the saints. Those who have been resurrected and are in the presence of God and of Christ. But now, let's go back again now to that verse number 14. And the armies which, and what's the next word? Where were they? They were in heaven. So, what happened at the rapture of the church? At the rapture that took place way back early in the book of Revelation, who was raptured? The church was raptured, taken to heaven around the throne. Remember the elders that represent the church that was around the throne of God? We've been in the presence of God in Christ the whole time that we've been looking at the book of Revelation. The fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, the church was resurrected. And we've been in the presence of God. Now, here we find at the close of the tribulation period that armies are us. We're with Him as He returns to the earth. We're going to be with Him during the millennial reign. But it says the armies were in heaven. They followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linens, white and clean. Let me ask you a question. How much you think you're going to have to be geared up for warfare when you come back with Christ? I don't think we're going to have to worry about any battle. I think we've got a Savior and a King. He says He's King of kings and Lord of lords. You better believe He don't need any help in what He gets ready to do. So now let's look a little bit and see what's going to take place when He begins His wrath and judgment upon the world. How is He going to take care of Satan and his demons and all those who have trod His name underfoot? He said in verse number 15, as you and I who know Christ in saving grace, who've been saved by His marvelous grace, forgiven for our sins, resurrected and received a new body, or in standing in His presence, we'll be watching this as it takes place. In verse number 15, it says, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. So now let's look for just a moment at this particular verse. Now what goes out of His mouth? A sharp, two-edged sword. Well, how about this sword? Look with me at Hebrews for just a moment. Now, remember that we said a while ago that in the beginning, in John, He was what? The Word of God, okay? Now, how is this Word of God? How powerful is this Word of God? How much strength does this Word of God have? Well, this Word of God is Christ Himself. So look with me, if you will, over in the book of Hebrews. Read just a couple of verses here in Hebrews in chapter number 4. Chapter number 4 and verse number 12. For the Word of God. Well, now, who is the Word of God? If I read my scriptures right and what I understand, the Word of God is Christ in this perspective. He said, now, the Word of God is what? It's quick. And it's what? And it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So it certainly has, notice it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it does what? And it pierces to the depth that nothing else can, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Notice its strength and its ability. It can go farther than anything, any human being or anything that's ever been created can go. Okay? And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. Notice that. It's a discerner of what? Of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. So you and I, or no other creature in all the universe, can hide anything from God Almighty. Everything to Him is an open book. And that makes me shudder when I think about that He knows everything about my life from the time I was born until the time I would die. That means everything that I've ever done, every thought that I've ever had. And don't you think that I need a lot of grace and mercy to save me from what I've done. But His blood's sufficient to wash every bit of it away. And it's remembered no more. And in His mind, it as if I never did it, as if it never happened, because His Son, Jesus Christ, paid it all. My debt's totally paid. But it's because of that one that we see here that came the second time clothed in a vest dripped in blood. And here He says He knows to the intent and the thought. Neither is there any creature that is not what? Manifest. What does that mean? Made known. There's nothing made known that can't, that's not made known to Him. It says there is nothing that is not manifest in His sight. But all things, you can draw a ring around that all. But all things are what? Naked. What does that mean? That means it don't have anything to cover it up. It's visible to Him. He said, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I don't see any cover-up in it, do you? Everything's open to Him. Now let's go back again to chapter number 19. In verse number 15, And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it. Now, what's going to take care of the enemy? All Christ has got to do is speak it, and it's what? And it's done. It's done. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to speak judgment, and judgment's going to take place. He says, goeth out of the mouth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. So the final judgment's coming, and it's coming in a hurry, and he speaks it. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now what's fixing to take place? Let's look at verse number 17. And he says, here I saw an angel standing in the sun. A thought came to mind right then. You know, our sun that gives us light, the S-U-N that gives us light every day, don't ever go out, does it? So we say that sun is the light of this physical world we live in. But I know a sun that's the true light of the world. You go back and look at that John 1, it says that he is the light of the world. That S-O-N is a true eternal light also. But he said, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Gather yourselves together, what? To a supper. What's the last meal of the day? In Johnson County, it's supper time, right? So supper's the last meal of your day, right? What does that tell us? That's the ending of a day, right? Things are fixing to happen. It's supper time. God's fixing to bring the raft on this old evil world and Satan and his demons and all those. Look at Revelation 6 chapter. Let's back up for just a moment. Revelation chapter number 6. And let me just look at a thing or two here. Chapter number 6 and verse number 12, and I beheld when I had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. I was reading that last night, and I thought about that again. I thought about when you shake an apple tree and you get the apples off of it. You think about if the universe was shaking and all the stars of the universe began to crash upon the earth. We find also this recorded that there's going to be hailstones that fall Now, this is hard for us to comprehend. It talks about the size of them. And they're going to be from 100 to 300 pounds. How would you like to be caught out in the field? Well, it don't make no difference where you're in the field or in the house. If they call it holding 100 and 300-pound hailstones, there ain't much place to hide, folks. That'll happen during the tribulation period. We can't comprehend. Our little old mind's not, it cannot comprehend some things that's going to take place in the tribulation period. I'm just reminding you, here's some things that's going to take place. He says, the heavens departed as a scroll as it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. You think we've seen some bad earthquakes? We've never seen one like this one's going to be. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks, and the mountains, and said to the mountains, the rocks, fall on us. That's how bad it's going to get. Do anything, just get us out of this. Fall on us, and hide us from what? Who do they want to be hid from? The face of him that sitteth, what? On the throne. It's going to be the same way with this that we've looked at in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. That's going to be sitting on that white horse too, I'll tell you that. For the wrath of the Lamb, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Nobody. No way to escape. We've just said that everything's open to him. Back to Revelation again. He has just called for this ain't quite going to be a wedding supper, is it? This is going to be that. We've just read about that great day of the wrath of God. Why in the world is he going to call all the birds together? There's going to be a whole lot of dead folks, including the undertakers. There ain't going to be nobody to get rid of. The vultures are going to have a time. So you're going to call them together. Now you watch. That you may eat the flesh of kings. So your position don't make a whole lot of difference here, does it? Kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and the flesh of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So you and my status don't mean a thing in the world to God when you're looking at it on the physical side. The only time that our status or our position in life means anything to God when he looks at me through the blood of his son. And then my place counts then, because he sees me under the blood. I'm glad that I'm there. I don't have to worry about this part of Revelation. I'm going to be a bystander. And I hope you are too. But it's only through the blood of Christ that that's going to happen. And then he said, and I saw the beast. Okay? And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to do what? To make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. You know, the devil is never going to get it. He just can't quite comprehend the power of Almighty God. He just can't give up. But he's fixing to. So he's brainwashed all the armies of the world, gathered together with him to make war against Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But something's going to fix and happen to him. In verse number 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire with brimstone. Now, where is the beast and the false prophet now? Look at something. Now, we're talking about the power and authority of God. We're talking about gone. Verse number 20 says what? And the beast was taken. Ain't no problem with God, is it? Ain't no problem with Christ either. He said, boop, it's done. He said the beast was taken. He don't tell me who took him. I don't know who took him. He said they were taken. And we're reminded of what they did. They wrought miracles before him. That it was the false prophet. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into what? Lake of fire and brimstone. Now, I want you to notice that does not say hell. That's the final resting place, the lake of fire and brimstone. The final resting place. And then it says in verse number 21, and the remnant, notice that, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowl were filled with their flesh. So what happened when Christ got ready for it to happen? He spoke it, and it was done. He didn't have to have a massive army. All he needed was the word of God, a sharp two-edged sword. He spoke it, and it was done. And it says all the remnant were slain with the sword, and the fowl of the air were filled with their flesh. Lord willing, we'll pick up in chapter number 20 next Sunday. Thank you for your presence, and God bless you.